So, Timmy, I have a question for you, bud.
What's your question?
When you were making Grimshaw, and one, you were being very personal because you made another champion, knowing that I can't hit you or hurt you. But did you also happen to read the adventure pass to know that you were going to Kintargo, and you were like, I'm gonna make a character from Kintargo?
You know, here's the sitch with that, okay? I'm at book four right now. So I kind of forgot everything that happened in book three, so I think it was kind of just like a Freudian slip that I was like, oh yeah, Kintargo, that sounds familiar. So
got it.
I have a terrible memory.
Right. Shit, you're only on book four. If you read the adventure pass, I'm on book ten, man.
What? You can see it in the Reddits. They've been saying for years, Tim's a cheater.
Tim's a cheater. Mark, by the way, that's a different adventure path. That's no longer Age of Ashes.
Mark,
I thought it was so like Sea of Cinder.
Sea of Cinder.
he just kept reading like the adventure path like they were books.
I was like, wow, this series is really good.
Mark started writing a levels 20 through 40 adventure that piggybacked off this one.
We're going mythic levels here.
No. See, the heroes, they went through the classic, depowering phase so they can build up the power again.
Like the beginning of every single Metroid game.
Are you telling
game.
Me I'm going to lose all my Metroid armor?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Every single game, she gets hit with something and all of her powers go away.
Every single time.
Oh no, I'm armorless and hot.
But to her credit, it must be normal for her to get those powers and all of her technology beaten, because she reacts completely apathetic
well,
every time.
Well, this again.
Well, she's used to being able to defend herself like with minimal anything. And to be fair, like in the Metroid Prime games, I think the second one to the third one makes more sense, because all the power-ups she got from that was from that alien planet, and she decided to leave them with their culture. So she relinquished them to be respectful.
That's legit.
So,
very respectful person. It's just that when you see Samus, you're like, oh no, is the planet going to blow up? You're like...
Probably.
So other than knowing who Samus is and that she runs around in a suit of power armor stuff, I've never played a Metroid game.
That's just a darn shame.
You should fix that.
That's also false. That's also false, because you said that you played the multiplayer one with
Tim. Oh, yeah, I guess I did, but I never played any story.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We just ran around balls and blew up mines on each other. Which is fine.
Yeah, that was,
just
that
like Tim, you're proving yourself to be a huge liar that we can't trust.
Yeah, my whole trustworthiness has now been thrown in the garbage. Because one time I played multiplayer Metroid, and that should
exactly.
You can never trust you know the whole game.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Also, real quick, can I shout out Spindrift? They make sparkling water, and they use real squeezed fruit juice. Like, you know how LaCroix uses, natural flavors or whatever?
Right.
Like, this stuff, they literally just squeeze some juice in it, and they carbonate some water. And let me tell you, it blows LaCroix out of the water. Like, LaCroix is disgusting to me.
Tens of fighting words in my house.
Phew, that's because you've never had a Spindrift. Have you ever had Spindrift?
Oh my god.
I need to buy a case.
You have
from
stock
Costco.
In this company, Tim?
I mean, I should actually. That's a good point.
Why are you motherfuckers not buying it?
I've recently
buy Spindrift coin.
Found Waterloo sparkling water, and that was good. It was very good. It's probably my new fave.
Yeah, Waterloo is pretty good.
But do they use real fruit juice?
I don't know.
Do they have their own independent cryptocurrency called Bubble Water?
All I know is it's better than LaCroix. LaCroix is overrated, and there are better seltzers out there.
I'm a huge sucker for any seltzer, so I'd love to give these a try.
Yeah, man. Like, for example, like you look at the back of this grapefruit can. It says it contains 10% juice, and let me tell you, it is not.
That's huge, actually.
It is not zero calorie. It is 17 calories.
So that's not like a seltzer anymore. It's like a drink.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm sure it's great.
So they're lying. Just like Kelly.
I would just say comparing that to LaCroix or like others. Yeah, like me. Those Celtics played Metroid. I'm sure of it.
I'm just waiting for Metroid Seltzer.
Metroid Seltzer.
But see,
in the game, she takes her suit off and takes a big old drink.
Yes, it's
a drink of water.
Turns off to the side, the silhouette of the can.
Okay, here's why I think it is a fair comparison, Cal. Because their lemon and their lime flavors have between 1 and 3 calories. It's basically calorie free. I mean, do you eat a cucumber and say to yourself, "Oh well"?
So Jake, is this how you wanted this intro to go?
What?
It is a real vegetable.
I wish Grimshaw was killed by a cucumber, and by that, I mean that you guys did really good in the last encounter.
Hey.
What makes the, makes the vegetables grow? All the blood we spilled.
A flying cucumber hits Grimshaw on the head and kills him.
His only weakness was vegetables.
No.
It's the only thing that can actually kill these champions.
He's one of those guys that just hates vegetables.
He's literally a Super Mario Brothers 2 villain.
No, they framed the cucumbers. It was a pickle.
All right, so you guys killed some of these Scarlet Tribe members that were unsuccessful, actually, in capturing what appeared to be a few farmers or craftsmen or whoever this family was. And as they we ended the last episode with you guys finishing up a bloodbath, mm-hmm. in the main thoroughfare on the outskirts of Cypress Point, and the family saw what was happening through the window, and they opened up the door, and you guys see them all creeping out from behind the door, scared and shivering.
Mm. So can I also just put this at a point of reference of, you know, it's normal for us because we're going into combat and we have all these abilities and shit, but just imagine being a regular family, just turning over, looking through the window, and it's just like lightning shooting off. You got this giant bird like driving its beak into things, two champions in armor just smashing the crap out of these people, blood everywhere. It's just
Me and my wife have talked about this before. Being a regular person in the world of D&D is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And then you got Benson that turns around covered in blood. He goes, "We're here to save you." And you're just like, okay, sir.
Instant drama.
Divine retributive strikes. Tim's making people step around for free. It's weird.
Our saviors are here. Just like, yes.
You're being rescued. Do not resist. Mm.
But also, on the same token, like, this isn't that different. Like, sure, it might not happen, like, every single day, but, like, surely, the farm is, like, there's the traveling circus with, like, magic acts, like, real magic acts. Like, there's the cleric that's healing disease, you know, and doing wondrous mm-hmm. things. So it's not like, I agree, it's like, you know, the danger is real. Like, people would die. They fly like, they fall like fleas among men. But I would say that we are extraordinary beings in an ordinary world. Like, we're akin to superheroes. Like, it's not like, I know, like, there's, like, the joke that, like, you know, because there are so many people playing, you know, Dungeons & Dragons that, like, the universe is just chock full of heroes. And, like, sometimes it does lean into that. But I like to lean into the narrative of the scarcity of heroes. But then, I don't know, because then that opens up, but then there's so many monsters around all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, then there's, like, so much danger. And only one roaming band of powerful people.
I can see the idea of scarcity of heroes, but I also like to think that Galarian's just so damn big that most of the time you wouldn't even know.
No, yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's fights going everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, to compare this, like, the whole idea of, in the Witcher books, like, you have, like, your typical soldier or whatever, and, you know, they're pretty good at martial stuff or whatever, but, like, beyond that, you have, like, Witchers are, like, a step above them, and then it's, like, the sorcerers, which are, like, insanely powerful, but there's not many of them, and that's why, like, entire countries will, like, pay wealth in order to get them to, like, do certain things.
Yeah, they're like, hey, the sorcerer can wipe out half an army, like...
Yeah. I was just listening to... there was a part in Book 2 where it actually talks about how, like, a group of sorcerers come and, like, save an entire village. And that was like a fucking miracle. Like it was so out of the blue that like they erected like statues like of the sorcerers in town. Yeah, it was just awesome.
Well, Grimshaw's ready for his statue to be erected because he is stomping off to the town. Like I don't know if you all remember, but the end of last episode, Grimshaw's weapon was infused with the death drinking. So he, through his weapon, he absorbed the life force from this last fallen enemy, and he's juiced up. He's a little agitated. You can see that, like,
he's got that creatine going through his body right now.
Yeah, like he kind of like, you know how like Bane from like Dark Knight just kind of goes like a little wild, you know? Like he's kind of got that energy to him that like he seems like so cool and collected. But, like, man, when he death drinks, he's just, like, this other creature. Like, we got a Jekyll and Hyde going on. And he does, doesn't even, like, notice, like, the farmers. He just starts stomping off towards the village on fire, basically.
I love how you compared what Bane did and does as a little wild. Man's a mass murderer.
Just a little wild.
Bane, just a little wild. A little wild.
I will break the bat.
You know, a little wild.
Look at that rascal.
Well, which one of you are want to go talk to the farmer while Grimshaw goes marching off?
Grimshaw's not alone. Benson's right with him.
Yeah, Kezra knows that he can catch the champions, so he's going to take a quick minute with the farmers.
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah, because you're more of the face. Well, I mean, actually, all of you, I think, are pretty much the face. So I mean, because Elk will just be kind of like searching through rummaging through the bodies, just you know, for hints as well, like what's going on.
All right. So let's go through. Let's do the interaction with Kezra and this farmer. So Kezra, as you go approaching, the farmer opens up the door, and he's played by Patton Oswalt.
Oh my god.
What a friendly face.
Who doesn't love Patton Oswalt? And so he opens up the door, he's just like, thank you, mister. You've been a huge help. You and your friends, and he sort of like motions to the other people over there.
Just gives a thumbs up. Yes. There's a bloody thumbs up.
Oh, gosh. Where did these Scarlet Triad come from? When did they get here?
It must have been about dawn. They came here and they in this huge ship. You can see it right over there, and like just above the trees, you can see like the mast. And he goes, "It was this ship."
Have they declared what they want?
They're slavers. They came here taking people. I ran here and told my family to get into the basement. They followed me in there, but luckily you guys came out and drew them out of my house. Thank you so much. And he takes both of your hands and like shakes them vigorously.
Yes, yes.
Thanking you.
Does Kitargo not defend its countryside? Where are the soldiers?
No. No. Kintargo's got all this stuff that they're dealing with. You know, we're a small town out here. We're just fishermen and farmers out here. You know, we keep to ourselves. We've never dealt with something like this.
All right. Well, unless you have anything else useful, go and bar your doors. We'll paint your bay.
Right.
We'll paint your bay red with their blood.
If I could just ask a favor, really
other
quick.
Other than killing the slavers,
this might be part of it. This might be part of it, honestly.
Okay.
So there's a communal boathouse that as we were running through, we heard them talking about burning that down. Could you please just make sure that boathouse is almost sacred to this town?
Fine. Save the boathouse. Burn the slavers. Got it. Yes. We'll make that top priority.
What do they have? They just have plus one rapiers, right, or whatever? Because Elk's just gonna like run up real fast, like behind him, and just hands the farmer kind of you should use this. Oh. In case they come back, I'm sure you know how to use this. Stick them with the pointy end.
He grabs the blade and is like, oh, geez, that hurts. Oh, geez.
He was passing it over gently. Like he was being considerate about it. He's just, oh, if they happen to come back, just give them a couple good steps.
Kendra looks at Alka still in front of the farmer. And he goes, the farmer wants to save their boathouse and then torture all of the slavers and then dismember their bodies in the bay. Those were his exact words. We should get out of
that. One's sick. No, fuck. Okay.
I mean, if...
No, wait, they're bringing sharks. No.
I mean, if that's what he wants, I guess we should.
We'll do this in your name, farmer. What was your name?
My name. Hold on, let me scroll up. My name's Lependisk.
They will call us the Lependisk Massacre of the slavers. You will go down in history.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Well, I don't. I mean, the slavers.
We will hang their skulls from the boathouse.
Yes.
Could you make it like the Lependisk Reformation or something? That sounds better.
Reformation : massacre. Got it.
No, I just want the one.
Too late.
Well, if anything, the seagulls will have a feast this evening.
A feast in their eyes.
You guys run away, and you are heading into town now. The two of you easily catch up with the two champions.
Yeah, as a point, we're not even at the town yet. Grimshaw, he's kind of walking off his, you know, this like wild energy. He realizes that he's not going to get there in time before it runs out. And you see that he kind of starts to like fatigue a little bit. He centers himself, does lay on hands, takes 10 minutes to refocus and pray. And he kind of turns to, I'm sure he like turns to, like Benson's like keeping pace with him. The others haven't caught up yet. And he kind of turns to Benson. He's like, I'm sorry to see me like that. This weapon I have is both a blessing and a curse. It gives much power, but its price on me is heavy sometimes.
I'm very familiar as Benson just flicks the cloak out.
Do you know whose cloak that is?
But the interesting thing about this is Grimshaw is like not happy about what is about to happen. Benson, let me put it this way. Benson is a lifelong killer. Strengthened with plate, sword blade, and holy light.
Yeah, I don't think he's upset about like, you know, the murder of the oppressors. I think he's kind of more upset of like the weapon kind of like owning him more than he owns it. So for him, it's more of a control issue.
Yeah,
it's. You know, he is the one who's empowered by the goddess. But this weapon, this weapon, where did it come from? Where did he get it? Why does he call it Malani's Morning Star? Ah, no time to chat. All right, let's press on.
It's good alliteration, though. It just rolls off the tongue better.
I do like that.
You can tell me after we painted the field red.
What makes the grass green?
All right, so as you guys are approaching the boat house, let me go ahead and bring you guys over to the map.
Yeah, as we catch up to the champions, because there's like the farmer wants us to disembowel all the slavers, spike their heads on the boathouse.
Damn!
But he said the boathouse is priority.
And hang their corpses.
The farmer wants this massacre named after his children.
Sure thing, Kesra.
That's pretty hardcore.
It was a strange request, but I'm much obliged to aid him in his endeavors for madness.
I believe you have to aid a humble farmer's request like that.
If a farmer asks you to murder a bunch of slavers and do horrible things to them, you just do it.
You gotta do it.
All I'm seeing is a black screen, Jake.
Let me go ahead and give you guys
the
vision.
Code.
It's the code.
The code of the farmer.
every farmer gets one massacre in his name. It's the code. Every humble farmer.
Especially if he looks like Pat Oswalt.
Especially if he looks like Pat Oswalt.
Particularly.
I also just like to think that you're like the champions are like running ahead and all that stuff, and it's just me, Elk and Kezra just kind of just laughing them a little bit, like, there you go.
I actually have a cantrip that increases my movement speed. I can just like cast that.
Do you have a cantrip?
Yeah.
What's a cantrip?
The cantrip is one that I trained into when I leveled up. Called Warp Step. It is two actions, and it's described as when you walk, the earth warps beneath your feet. Your steps extend, distance contracts, and everything is just a little bit closer. You gain a 5-foot status bonus to your speed until the end of your turn, and you stride twice as part of the two action spell. You can use Warp Step to burrow, climb, fly, or swim instead of stride if you have the corresponding movement. So, you get the 5-foot movement speed with the two actions casting the spell, but you keep the 5-foot status bonus for your third action, so you can actually use it for three.
Whoa. Right.
That's pretty sick.
Okay. So, in doing so, if you have, like, the typical 25, then you can use that whole round to move 90?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, and it must look really cool because the ground like under my feet is like warping as I'm like moving across it, like
womp. Yeah,
like ethereally.
Yeah, is this kind of like time dilation of some kind? Is that the idea?
I would think so. If it's warp, more of like a teleporting type.
Yeah, it's sort of teleporty. I would say.
Mm. Okay,
yeah, just a little bit teleporty.
Yeah, I feel like from Grimshaw's perspective, like he swears he sees the Chronos Worm dancing beneath your feet with each step.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
That's my Chronos Worm.
Get your worm away from me.
As you guys have approached the boathouse, so it's sort of it's on like the north side of Cypress Point. So as you guys are going up there, you do not see any smoke or fire coming from this building. But what you do see is, as you were walking up, you were about like you know 120 feet away or whatever the distance is that you guys couldn't cover it. And as you guys were approaching, you saw what looked like a Scarlet Triad sneak. And they came in through the door on this side. And as they were walking up, they saw you. And then they saw, like, the four of you. And then they were just like, whoo! And then they run in really quickly.
So there's a door to, like, far west of the building. And then there's, like, a dock with two doors as well. And so he came out the door on the west.
Let me go ahead and read this point. Cypress Point Boathouse. There it is. So the Cypress Point Boathouse. The walls of this warehouse extend over the water. A walkway lines the eastern edge of the room and another in the southwest. But most of this walkway has been smashed. Only the southernmost edge of the room is floored with wooden planks. Oh, sorry, that is the... Oh, that's inside. But a lot of the place is smashed up. Okay. So it's a boathouse. You can imagine that the inside of this is mostly catwalk and where they bring boats
in. Right.
There's a door over here on the west side that as you guys were walking up, you saw the sneak start walking up to it and then saw you guys. It was like, oh shit, and he runs in.
So there's a door on the west side and the east side?
Yeah.
Correct. Seems that way. There's two doors on the east side. There's one here, and then there's one a little bit farther up on the catwalk.
I mean, I'm pretty game to just go straight through this door closest to us.
I want a pincer move.
Yeah, if we do like a pincer maneuver, that would be pretty good.
I got this one.
Okay. I'll take the one on the far end. Story floor? Is there a second floor to this, or is it all just?
No. It's all one story. It's a pretty modest boathouse. It does look like it has been kept together with old boards, so it looks like he said it was a communal boathouse. The farmer Leppin did.
But so it looks like it's been just sort of kept alive for a very long time.
Okay. Well, I will stick with Benson then.
Yeah. Okay. If when you said it was like busted up a little bit, like on the roof, are there holes in the roof or?
No. It doesn't look like that at all. Never mind.
I was thinking, but, I was like, man, if I could just go up there and just start sniping from above.
No. So as you guys go and get on both door or on the west and eastern side doors, as you guys start walking up, you do hear.
Oh no!
Okay, hold on a second.
I'm going in.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Like, Kendra taps Benson. You go, Benson. Stone skin. Or do you want to be big again?
Stone.
Bang. Slaps you on the back, and your skin turns stone under your steel armor.
And I am so hard to kill.
Just don't fall in the water.
Alright, now can I open the door?
Before the steel elk rings his bracelets and activates the bracelets of... what are they called? Dashing. And gets an extra 10 feet.
Okay.
And go ahead, Tim.
Oh, there he is. Come here, Vimir.
Yeah, sorry. I forget to bring Vimir in. Alright, so Kezra, you cast your spell, and anything else anybody want to do before they open up the door?
I would like to bust down the door. It's kind of my initiative, if that's okay. Like, you know, they're opening the door, but I want to bust it down so I can get that athletics.
Sure. Benson, would you like to do the same?
I will break through the door and try to use that as an intimidating shout.
And Elk will be sneaking back here, like, kind of... Yeah, I mean, like, it was just kind of like if the action's going that, you know, he's busting down the door, like, all the attention will be drawn to him, so he's just going to try to stay as, like... inconspicuous as possible.
So you'll be rolling stealth for initiative?
Yes.
Okay.
Kezra has Kezra casts see invisibility on himself.
Good shit.
Alrighty. And so you were detecting for magic then?
Yep.
Alright, anything else before we open up the doors?
John, are you able to see the tokens, or are you still not?
No,
able
I still
to see
can't see my token.
Okay, you might be selected on someone else's token.
There
and
it is,
has...
there it is, yep.
And okay. Do I detect any magic?
All right, you may. You. No, let me see. You do not detect any magic. No, you do not detect any magic.
I'm going through the door.
Go.
Do it.
All right. The two of you may open the doors.
Busting the door open.
Grimshaw, you may open up the door.
Open the door. Click.
And here's where the boathouse interior is. I'll read this again just for to be pedantic. The walls of this warehouse extend over the water. A walkway lines the eastern edge of the room and another in the southwest. But most of this walkway has been smashed. Only the southernmost edge of the room is floored with wooden planks. So the southernmost edge, which is this big area down here, and then there is there's the boards that you know would go to the outside eastern edge over here. But as you can see up here over the corner, in this little like closet area, or what appears to be a closet, it looks like a dock was smashed here. Hmm. The thing that catches your eye the most, however, is about here in the water, in the center of the boathouse. Or in the center of the water of the boathouse, looks to be a giant pool of blood that just continues to produce more blood.
Wait, where?
Right in the center.
In the middle of the water?
Right about here in the middle of the water.
The farmer's massacre has begun.
I don't want to get in that water.
No.
Here, Benson, who is full of stone and metal.
Yep.
Swim.
So that's all we see, the pool of blood. We don't see the sneak that ran in here?
You do not see the sneak that ran in here.
That's not good.
There is a door that was to the north of this one outside of here. I'm going to bust that one open.
So you go ahead and run over and bust that one in.
Well, right before I go out, I'm going to call out to the others, like...
I don't know. We can't investigate what's in the water. There's a door to the north right outside. I'm busting in that one. Take care.
And I bust it open.
Take care.
And this one, this is just called tackle storage. Oh. This room has several boxes, barrels, and nets lining the walls and stacked in orderly piles around the room. Double doors lead out to the east and south. So the ones that you just opened, and then there's another one that goes to the east that, if you're in the center of the room, you can clearly see it just goes right to what would have been a dock.
Yeah.
Or an inside dock at the boathouse.
Interesting.
Benson's going to call out for Elkwood, see if he's willing to jump in the water.
Fuck no.
I mean, fuck no. There you go.
I mean, okay, let's put the evidence together. Saw Sneak, runs into here, pile of blood.
You know, there's something in the water.
There's something in the water. But the something in the water wants to kill Sneaks. It's not killing us. So maybe...
That we know of.
Yeah, maybe. At that moment.
There we go. It's just hungry for Sneaks.
As Benson turned, and then he was just like, Elk, do you think you want to get in the water? You immediately regret asking him that at all, as this creature jumps up out of the water.
Gasp.
What the fuck?
Wait, that kind of looks familiar. I don't know why.
It might look familiar. It's an amphibious animal, so it's probably been other places. But this thing has a awful toothy maw. So this thing looks like, it kind of looks like a chameleon almost.
Yeah.
It has a very like chameleon like sort of like fin head, and it has some gnarly barbs on its tail, very lizard like. But its maw is filled with the most awful crooked teeth you've ever seen. And I would like you all to roll initiative as. Stirring in the water appears to be two more of them.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh, and, I'm at an angle. Nice.
So you can see there is one that is right in front of Benson in the water. As Benson, like, is in the center of the dock. You see the center one comes up from the surface covered in blood with an arm in its mouth.
Makes sense.
They were having a little chew toy.
Yeah, have a little snack. And then the other one in the back actually just swam in. So that one just came in. But go ahead and let's get initiative going, guys.
Can I roll for intimidation?
Y'all were perceiving. So okay. I guess Grimshaw and Benson were perceiving.
No, Grimshaw was busting through doors, remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah, you're busted through the other door, yeah, okay. And then Kezra, I guess you were perceiving too, unless you have a reason for something else.
I'll detect the magic, but I don't care if that's a reach, I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm fine with perception. Right, so it's not like I'm going to roll well anyway. Okay. Who cares?
Well, that's true. Let me go ahead and roll for these things. Benson, what is your initiative?
23.
Kezra, what'd you get?
Roll a 7. Just like I said I would. So that is a 18.
18. Elkwood, what'd you get?
25.
And Grimshaw.
Grimshaw, you see the mysterious and elusive chrono worm circling his body, but instead of Grimshaw looking agitated and as if the time around him is speeding up, you see things actually begin to stabilize and coalesce coherently as he stabilizes his timeline. So I don't roll initiative, and I just get 10 plus my initiative modifier, which is athletics in this case, so I get a 25.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. And Elkwood, you can go before me.
Yeah.
He already is, and however I calculated it. So,
perfect.
These creatures are going first. It is the first two. The very first one, actually, is the one that is going after Benson here. So it comes... jumping out of the water at you.
Oh.
So let me tell you what this thing does. It actually has, you actually use something called aquatic ambush. So the monster is hiding in the water, and the creature that hasn't detected it within its listed number of feet. And it moved up through the water and is now jumping out of the water at you.
Mm-hmm.
You are flat-footed against the strike. That's all that that means, ultimately. So it is going to do a jaw attack at you. Let me just make sure that it is a... makes a strike against it. Okay, so he gets to move and attack. So this is going to be jaw attack at you. And it's going to be a 40 to hit.
Yeah, that hit.
Oh.
I'll raise my shield so it's not a crit.
Right. So that is going to be... 17 points of piercing damage.
Oh, jeez.
10 points of piercing damage.
And here is something interesting. As it sinks into your armor and it gets it into part of the chainmail that might be under there, it then wriggles its mouth and a tooth breaks off.
Oof.
What?
So it uses an action to do this.
Oh.
The creature snaps off one of its teeth of a creature it hit. So, John, you will take... that's right. I gotta do the... 1d6. 6 points of bleed damage.
Oh, that's bad.
No, it's not, because you're also drained 1.
Oh, fuck.
What?
So what's that mean again?
Oh, man.
Gain the drain condition, so your everything con based goes down, including your maximum and current hit points.
Yep.
I am drained.
Yes.
And that does not go away until you take a nice rest.
This one is not as bad. It says neither can be healed while the tooth remains.
Okay.
So you gotta remove it. Right, so that I will tell you. I'll just tell you this right off the bat. That requires a administer first aid check.
Hmm.
Instead of ending bleeding or stabilizing, this removes the drain condition.
Oh, good.
It doesn't automatically end the bleed.
Alrighty.
Okay, that's fine. As long as it gets rid of the drained condition.
Exactly. Yeah.
For real.
The one action for that, one action for that, and then it's just going to do a claw strike here as it goes and falls back into the water. It's going to be a 21 to hit, so a mess on the last. Alright, that was that creature's turn. It is the one creature in the back now, or in the center, I should say, because it's the second one. This one is going to swim up and jump up and try to do the same thing as you, Benson.
All right.
So this one is going to do a jaw strike. 24 to hit?
Nope.
All right. And then it's just going to do a claw as well. That was map? That was with map. 32 to hit?
Yep, that'll hit.
Mm. Okay. 15 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Move, strike. Okay. Elkwood, it is your turn.
Okay, so he sees that these things just suddenly appear out of nowhere. Benson is in trouble. So he first initiates Hunter's Hunt Prey on this one. And since he's within range, is going to take a two-action hunter shot with his longbow.
There you go.
So
you were shooting through a door, over a dock, and into this creature's head.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, and if there's any concealment, it goes away for a hunter's shot. So.
All right.
There's no concealment, but what I was going to say is that these things are large and, like, out of the water. Yeah. So there's no cover or anything like that.
I'm
just
saying, let's get the hell out of this boathouse.
All right.
Let's just draw all the slavers in here, and then they can have fun. All right, so that is a wonderful 16 on the die starting off.
Very nice.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a 16 plus 21 to hit. So that'd be a 37 to hit.
Yeah, that is a hit.
Fuck yeah, boy. Alright, so this is what the Shock Flaming Composite Longbow.
Wow.
Let's roll here. Damage. Oh. 17 points of damage. And I don't know if it depends if fire or shock does anything, but it's 4 points of fire, 4 points of shock.
Let me make sure. No, it will not affect this. So, what was the total?
17 total.
17 total, okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Right. That is it, because Vamir ain't going in there.
No.
Hey, after seeing Benson get freaking hit with a 40, he's just like, no.
No, you stay. Stay back here. Do you have an action for knowledge? For recall knowledge?
No, that was one action hunt prey, two actions to do a hunter shot.
Oh, so. Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Alright, Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Okay, so out of character, I'm in character, I'm not having a lot of motivation on why we're fighting these things. What do you guys think? I'm thinking we just dip.
Yeah, I'm thinking we just get out of here. It was just more like a reactionary shoot. Maybe it draws the tension and close door and Benson get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
I guess that's acceptable at this point.
Because from Grimshaw's perspective, like, these aren't the Scarlet Triad. These aren't, these are creatures.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we stepped into, like, kind of their home. Even if it's not their home and they don't belong here, like, we can
get rid of them later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is pest control. We're not here to pest control. We're here to, like, save people.
Yeah, these things can be dealt with later. I was already gonna advise Benson to leave, because this is the one thing that will kill a armor-plated paladin. Notice that blood thing was in the middle of the water over there.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. The sneak was on the dock, and then he wasn't on the dock. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
I'm fine with that.
These things dragged him into the middle of the water and ate him.
All right. Well, Grimshaw, it is your turn. So, wait, what are you doing with your three actions? So?
I actually, it's so interesting. From my vantage point, I do not see anything. So I'm hearing sounds of battle, but I don't actually see anything. So I'm gonna maybe look to Elkwood and be like, "What's the situation in there?"
Big, toothy lizard creatures, and they are beating the shit out of Benson right now.
Huh? We have no quarrel with them right now. And I call out, "Fall back!"
But they have a quarrel with Benson right now. So.
There's nothing that I personally can do. Benson, have you acted yet or no?
No, I haven't acted yet.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so you can. Nope. You can.
He goes directly after you, so.
He goes directly after me. Yeah, so I'm actually. In that case, I think I will. Can I hold my turn?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, do you want to go after Benson?
Yeah, I just want to make sure he gets out of there, and then I'm dipping.
That's fine. So I will make your initiative a 22 then, so you go directly after him. Okay, so Grimshaw is holding until Benson. You may now go.
Benson, seeing the situation, doesn't have any real benefit to us right now. Benson is going to dip, and as he passes Kezra, he knows Kezra has the capability of getting out of here.
Mm.
Like, make it up fast, sorcerer.
So as you go to leave, they do have a tail attack of opportunity.
Fair enough.
Of course.
So they're gonna
scares me.
Take their tail and go. And I'll tell you right now, it's gonna reach a 15. So,
frick.
So there's gonna be a 37 to hit on the tail.
Not a hit.
Gosh.
17 points of piercing damage.
10 points of piercing damage.
Oh my god.
I'm healing after this.
And the other one is going to do its tail attack on you as well. They saw the tooth in you, so that's why they're trying to get you on this.
Marked.
Blood in the water.
32.
I'm no longer flat-footed.
No, because it is your turn, so.
If I raise my shield, that's still a hit.
Oh, man.
Alright. 19 points of piercing damage.
Okay. Oh. Yep, this is bad.
Yeah.
Alright.
Jake found the creature.
I know. These things. Alright, you booked it out of the door that you just came into.
Mm-hmm.
Or came in through. How many actions do you have left?
I think just the 5, 10, 15, 5, 10. I would have been here. I'll use one more action to move this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you move through the door and around the corner so you see a broke line of sight with them.
Yep. Let's just say Elf just sees Benson just bloodied as fuck. You're just like, oh my god.
Alright, Grimshaw, it is your turn now. You still can't see anything.
Yeah, Grimshaw's. If I head directly south, in two actions, I get heat. You want me to close the door?
I would say close the door to get a line of sight away from.
Yeah. Alright, so I was right here. I'll take a step, close the door, and then I'll move.
Alright, Kezra,
so I'll move here. Kezra alone.
Don't worry, Kezra will blink, and I'll blink out of it.
Or blink directly into the middle of
the room. Into the water. Kezra, it's your turn now.
Oh, Benson, have you been subtracting stone skin?
I was gonna ask that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Cal.
All the hits that you took, you had resistance 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been keeping track of that.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. All right, good.
Yep, Kezra will bow out and close the door. Click. And step away from the door back to the safety of Benson.
It's a good thing Benson took this attack of opportunity for you.
Well, I think it's safe to say there will be no Scarlet Triads at the boathouse, and I don't think those things are going to destroy it, so I think we can move on.
Yes. Benson's going to immediately lay on hands himself.
Hmm.
And upon inspecting the area, there's definitely no more Scarlet Triad?
Definitely not.
Okay, so for Benson, actually, I do have healer's gloves. I could do...
Benson has healer's gloves, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just thinking that... could I do a retroactive nature check, then, I guess, on this thing?
Yeah. When you guys get out of the boathouse, they do not follow, so you may make a nature check now.
Okay, 25.
25. It is not high enough.
Damn.
It is.
Oh shit.
Okay. Well, you just made it actually. Woo. These things are called Kruths. Spelled Krooth. Kruth.
Hmm.
So Kruth, Kruths sometimes called crocodile eaters. Cool name.
Damn.
Are fast and vicious hunters of bogs and wetlands. While they are known to hunt and eat crocodiles, alligators, or virtually any creature with flesh, their favorite prey are lizard folk, boggers, and dinosaurs.
Hmm. Huh.
Should introduce these to the Mwangi Expanse.
Did we see these in the Mwangi? Or are Tim and I just remembering these things from another adventure?
I don't think we've ever seen these before.
No, we've never. These are things. No.
You know,
you did not, because these are much higher level than anything in that book.
Yeah, I think Kel. I think that might be from Big Top Tales. Do you remember when, like, you guys stepped on that one square and it summoned a beast?
What? Maybe.
No, this is their home game.
Yeah.
Right.
It like summoned a beast, and I'm just like, no, you guys can't win this fight. And you had to like run away from it.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was this. That's why it looks so familiar. And I'm just like, wait, like aquatic ambush, the tooth sticking
the tooth
in.
Thing, yeah.
I'm just like, that sounds like a stat block I read.
it looked very familiar. Anywho.
And you would also know that Kruths are found alone or in packs. Male Kruths are solitary and territorial creatures, fierce fierce, bold, and bloodthirsty. Mm. Female Crusa, on the other hand, are likely to shy away from potential predators, but swiftly turn violent when their brood is threatened. Because their offspring is so vulnerable, female crews gather in packs to raise their young. So you assume these are actually all female. Sending smaller groups to hunt for food while the rest of their pack watches the brood. Crews mate only once every 4 to 5 years, and the mating process is curiously gruesome spectacle.
I imagine so.
I love this stat block, so I'm just going to read it. An entire pack of females will hunt as a group or for a lone male crews claiming their prize in an orgiastic frenzy that can last for an entire day and night. Nice.
Damn.
After the mating has finished, the females slay their mate and devour his nutrient-rich flesh and his organs in particular. These organs contain a unique chemical compound vital to gestation. Many naturalists will pay handsomely for the fresh remains of a male crew so they can study the strange properties of the creature's blood and organs.
Nature scare, hey, man.
Thanks a lot, Elk. I didn't really need to know about the crew sex parties.
Did you also know?
great knowledge check.
Elk continues. In addition, crews have poisonous hollow teeth.
Yeah.
See, that's the part he wanted to get to that he'd be interested in.
I had to get through the rest of it before getting to the hollow teeth. Speaking of the tooth that's still sticking out of Benson.
Right.
Yes.
We should really get that out of him.
He's dying as you're telling all of this, so...
It's just like, you just go on. I'll just lay here. Die.
Fun fact, whether male or female, crews seem to be repelled by goblinoid flesh, which is just a fun fact.
Oh.
Well, I think most things get repelled by goblinoid
flesh. That's also probably true, yeah. So you want to do the you want to try to fix Benson and this tooth?
Please.
Yeah, we can try it.
Is anyone trained in medicine in order to perform this action?
I have healer's gloves and I took a feat that allows me to use nature instead.
Yep. If you can use nature, I think you're good. You just got to beat the DC, I think DC 20 to remove it, because DC 20 is the typical DC for treat wounds.
Not for this, but it is, yeah.
Ew.
So you have your gloves on and you turn it, you turn around and put your gloves on. When you turn back, Benson's in front of you and you just see this like tooth just like in his collarbone, and you can just see like the poison like oozing out of it with the blood. Benson's just like, oh my god, I feel so bad.
So, and then you see the gloves I'm wearing are embroidered with Adelar's name. They were the ones that you got from Adelar.
gold. Yep.
If you wouldn't mind, Elk.
Yes. Let me try. I've never tried healing anyone before.
As you go to heal, kind of in the background, Grimshaw, I don't know if it's perceptible or maybe I feel like everyone's too focused on Benson. He kind of like focuses and swirls his hands, and you see the Chronos Worm appear. And go ahead and make your roll.
Okay. That is a 11 on the die, so that's a 22.
That is a fail.
And you get to do a reroll because I guided the timeline. So just in that instant, as Elkwood fails to remove the tooth, that whole like 6 seconds or whatever just rewinds, and no one else knows but Grimshaw. And you get to do that action again.
Yeah, like for a moment, I guess his hand slips, like just trying to pull this thing out, like he's, and then in the second roll is a 17, so that's a 28.
That is a success.
Okay,
awesome.
Beautiful. And then, so he like daintily grabs like with three fingers and just kind of yanks it out at like one sudden movement. And then keeps it because he's just like, "What's this neat?
Sweet dagger, thanks."
Yeah, sweet dagger. Stabs him with this.
So that removes the drain condition. You'll have to roll another check in order to do the bleed. But that one is the normal DC 20. You said, Tim. I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure about removing bleed. Isn't that usually just a flat check?
Yeah, it's not a flat
check. So, to stop bleeding, it is an attempt to medicine check on a creature that is taking persistent bleed damage, giving them a chance to make another flat check to remove the persistent... Oh, okay. The DC is usually the DC of the effect that caused the bleed.
Ugh, so that's pretty high.
Yeah, so it is a high one.
Oh, damn. Also, since I used a healer's gloves, I guess I would... also
heal
him in general.
Yeah.
2d6 plus 7. So. Oh, 6 and a 1. So, 7, 14 points. You are.
That's the average.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, in this case, since he's using nature, he's kind of like has like a small pouch that has like a salve, like probably from like shredded up stuff. He chews it up, spits it like right on the wound. Just massages it in there a little bit.
You're disgusting, but keep going.
Yeah. And it just kind of numbs the area, so it kind of like makes it feel a little bit better, but it's like an antiseptic.
Yep. The FDA approved that. So.
All right, can I make a perception check to see if we can just see any more of these slavers? Like where they are, where they're moving?
Yeah, well, hold on, wait. Let's handle the bleed. Yeah. Did you roll another check for the bleed?
I thought magical healing just took care of the bleed.
No, not full, 2E. If you are fully healed, it would.
Yes. Like
full hit points.
Okay.
But otherwise, you have to roll bleed
item. Yeah, you just have to be a 15.
Roll your recovery check each round.
Okay, so...
What is...
All right, so...
Is there a modifier?
Wait. It's just the flat 15. But so roll a flat 15 first off to see if you take any bleed after he pulls the tooth out.
I just rolled a natural 20.
Oh, there we go. Right, never mind.
And we're good.
We're gonna never have to do that. never have to do it again. All right. So your general perception is easy as possible to succeed at because you can see. What appears to be the boat at the dock, and you can also see what appears to be some fires and more screaming and yelping coming from the center of town. Mm. The boat is the closest thing as you're at the boathouse, which is not far from the from the actual boat itself.
This is the slaver's boat.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, that's what the farmer told us.
Yeah, that was the farmer who was like, "Yo,
yeah."
There's a big boat here. That is an hour.
Big boat.
I was specifying the boat. He said a boat at the dock, and I was like, that is the slaver's boat, not just like a random boat.
No, it's just a fishing boat. We're just going to take.
he's like, take out my competition and hate that guy.
Start the massacre.
All right. Well, if this is the general idea, we want to go to the boat.
So Grimshaw speaks up, and he's like, I vote we go for the boat, because if we start damaging their way of escape, freeing prisoners, burning it in the water, we might draw them in.
I like the idea.
That works, and that way we can also get rid of any way they can back out.
Exactly.
The question is how many of them are there? And if there's any on the boat themselves... We gotta be a little bit cautious about that in case we want to start immolation.
This is not an enormous boat, right?
It's big enough to fit people in there.
Yeah, I mean, from the look of it, it certainly looks like a cargo ship, not ship. You could transport stuff on it, like a merchant vessel. How about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right. Let me get to. The map.
Yeah.
I
will say also Elk would be stealthing more or less. Like he'll just kind of disappear like in any places that he can.
Because
if anything, he's going to try to take advantage of any possible.
How about this? Before we actually approach the boat, how about I just make Elk invisible?
That works too.
And then he can.
There we go.
And then
there we go.
He can do long... a shit.
Yeah. How long of a time did it take between to get to the boat from the boathouse?
We did medicine.
No, like 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And we did medicine, right?
My dashing bracelets went out.
We did medicine anyway. Oh, yeah. So we took like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So see invisibility and stone skin are both gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Actually, Stone Skin lasts 20 minutes, and you took three hits?
Three hits,
four
yeah.
hits.
No, it would have been... It was four hits, you're right. Four.
Well, then technically, you might have a minute left of Stone Skin.
Ooh.
We can use that.
If we only took 10 minutes and he took four hits, then he would have 6 minutes left. If we took 15 minutes, right. then he would have... I guess it's 15 minutes. It's 5 minutes to walk over, 10 minutes for rest, so 15 minutes. So he has 1 minute of Stone Skin left.
One minute of Stone Skin left. All right.
Let's make it count.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, let's just get to it.
And then,
so as...
I'm sorry, Jake. We all have so much stuff that we do prepare. It's just...
What is it?
Grimshaw's robes flame on, and he gets a plus 30 foot speed bonus to his movement.
What?
Holy shit. Just full tricks.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
What is this, man?
He's just got them all.
Did Tim follow the treasure guy for real, or did he just add whatever bullshit he wanted?
he had the big chart of treasure, and he was just rolling 1d100s and just seeing what came up.
Yeah, you don't even know
that sounds cool.
You don't even know that half cool. of it, Cal. You don't know that half of it.
I feel like every turn of yours is just like the Moon Knight random bullshit go meme.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he kind of does have a Moon Knight vibe to him, you know.
Like, he does.
He gets
taken
control of, you know.
Literally has multiple personalities.
So as as he leaves you all in the dust, he's just like, hope y'all can keep up.
This guy's a prick.
Why do you want to join? He's such an asshole.
You all get to the boat. So as you come up onto the quay, which is like the dock where it is, you can see on the back of the boat the name is the Genie's Smile.
Oh, that's inconspicuous.
Genie's not going to be smiling for long.
So, as you approach onto the quay, Grimshaw, I will not allow you to walk that far forward.
I'm ahead of them 50 feet.
You are. So we'll handle that in a second. But
can I do a society check on the genie smile?
In a second. As you all are approaching, you
Jake.
See three. What?
Nothing.
What do you want? What do you want?
Jake's
I will turn this episode around.
Can we just mute Tim?
I might. As you are approaching, you see three creatures here that appear to be medium-sized. Are those boars, you think?
Fuck.
Boars?
What?
These are meaty-looking boars,
oh,
man.
Oh, I know exactly what that is.
That is a boar with chains and spiked collars all over.
Pretty badass, I gotta say.
And there are three of them. And they're all fighting over what looks to be like a flank of steak or something like that that somebody gave them.
Oh boy.
And as you approach, the one of them spots and it goes... And I need you all to roll initiative as they come charging at you.
Do pigs eat meat?
Yes.
Yeah.
These do.
Yeah, boars eat meat. Shit.
Yeah, boars will.
They do not give a shit.
Nope.
Pigs will eat.
Pigs don't give a shit.
No, pigs will eat meat.
No, there's those classic like murder mysteries of like or the classic murder mysteries. I've heard of stories like this where like somebody dies, or you know, the spouse kills another spouse. There's a pig farm. They throw the body in there,
yeah.
Or they chop it up and throw it in there.
I mean, that's from Snatch, the movie Snatch. Like, always be afraid.
That might be what I'm remembering. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie.
All right. Go ahead and get initiative in. Let me roll for these guys. I'll tell you right now, they are called blood boars. Blood boars. Benson, what was your initiative?
Well, it looks like I rolled a natural 19 for 32.
Oh.
Oh. Grimshaw, what'd you get?
So Grimshaw taps into the power of the Chronoworm, destabilizes his timeline, he becomes agitated, and he gets that burst of speed on top of his burst of speed, And so he gets a 34.
Jeez.
Just fuck you, man.
Dude.
I say he's making up shit.
I just I didn't know Foundry did this, but I put the undetected condition on Mark's token, and he disappeared from Kezra.
Whoa.
That's really cool. I didn't know it did that either.
That's sick.
I can get, if I highlight his square, it reselects him. But if I click on my mine, he's gone. That's cool.
Oh, wow,
that was wonderful.
That's really
cool.
Everyone, please go buy Foundry. I can't. And mind you, this is the base stuff because I haven't updated like the mods, but like the base Pathfinder 2E system in Foundry is incredible.
It's amazing.
It's really good, yeah. It's worth the like $50 payment or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is now, but man, it's good.
Yeah, it was like $50.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. This is just a shout out to how great Foundry is. Most services these days are subscription. You have to pay every single month. Foundry is a one-time. Support one-time downloads, guys. Support it. Buy it.
God, I hope by the time this episode comes out, it just doesn't say Foundry is now subscription-free.
I'll be so upset.
Tim. Tim suggested the idea.
Old Timmy Kofelt. Kezra, what is your initiative?
28.
Oh,
yeah. Kezra rolled high for once.
Still.
Who's that guy? He's moving so fast. That can't be Kezra. Elkwood, and what is yours?
So for natural 11, and since I was rolling stealth, 30. Ah.
Oh,
30. Very nice.
Boo.
Still last among all of us.
You may be invisible.
That's true.
What you get.
Beginning the encounter, Grimshaw,
to
it is
no
your turn.
No surprise of anyone. All right, let's see. I got 50 feet of movement. Wow, it still actually doesn't get me... very
really
close.
Want to go up there by yourself.
No, yeah, the boars are on the end of a very very long quay, as it is called.
It's like I don't want to waste my turn and like do nothing. You know what I mean? It's like I have all this speed, so I might as well at least. Oh wait. I'm sorry. I forget that I have 50 feet per action. So.
Oh, that's way different.
What bullshit is this?
What is this silly dumb thing you have?
This is going to take me like two turns just to get down there.
So I'm just going
to like pop a squat and wait for the fight to come.
I was just going to do that. Now he's going to get his ass kicked if we don't get down there.
He just lights up a pipe. He's like, well, I guess Sarah will come down here one day.
I really don't have any range. That's the thing. I'm all up in your biz, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that.
I'm just gonna strolling up here, Morning Star of Milani.
All right,
let's go.
Is it your whole turn doing that though?
Yeah, two actions to move, and then one action to strike.
Got it. All right. Well, it is the Blood Boar's turn directly in front of you. The one that you ran up
on. No.
So.
I get a strike.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
strike.
Yeah.
Jake, you could kill it in one shot.
I could.
Maybe 29 is a hit.
Not a crit.
You should have shoved it in the water.
Oh my god, that'd be great.
Oh, Jake, could I shove instead?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
No. Hands off the chef piece. I'll shove next turn when I'm surrounded by all these boars and fighting for my life.
Yeah, because I'm not getting to you.
No, you're not.
Benson, I fucked up. Please save me.
Benson, jump in the water and save me.
Use your fancy fucking bullshit cloak to run back.
It's a 12 points of damage.
12 points of damage. You whack the boar over his head of the head. Now is the end of your turn.
No, I, as a free action, I call out, looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
This guy's a fucking moron.
I'm talking about me. These boars eat me.
They're gonna eat me. Help.
All right. So it is the Blood Boar's turn that is directly in front of you. So he is going to start off by doing something called a terrifying squeal.
Yeah.
Blood Boar lets forth a hair-raising squeal. So it is only going to be affecting you since you're the only creature within 30 feet, but I do need you to make a will save there, Timbo.
A will save.
How willful am I feeling today is the question.
Milani smiles upon me. I do not fear your screams.
With a 33.
33, that is a critical success.
Ooh, that's good.
So, doesn't have an effect, but you are definitely not frightened.
Actually, it brings a smile to my face. It reminds me of the pig farms back in Contargo.
There you go, yeah. Seeing the pigs in the market and stuff like that, yeah. Alright, so it does that, and then it is going to try and do a two jaw strike. So it just sort of wrenches its head back and forth and swings these gnarly looking tusks at you. So first attack is going to be a 26.
Miss.
And second attack is going to be a natural 20.
Aww.
I think that'll hit.
I just want to let you know, if these have any like weakness to cold iron, bad stuff will happen to them.
Oh, I bet they do.
They do not. They are
they're fae boars.
Okay,
classic fae boars.
Is that
you know the worst
attack?
Thing is that these boars could just be regular boars, you know, because how vicious boars are in nature.
Right. Yeah, they're horrible.
Is this piercing or slashing?
Yep. This would be this is piercing because it's a jaw, yeah.
Piercing.
It's their tusk, yeah.
Okay. Cheek pierced. The target must succeed at a DC 5 flat check to cast spells with the verbal component until healed.
Ooh.
Oh no.
Oh, you got stabbed in the cheek.
Stabbed
that fucking sucks.
In the cheek.
Oh.
You have a bloody boar tusk in your cheek.
In your cheek, yeah.
So,
I can't activate regular any of critical my 1,000 abilities.
Critical damage is going to be 38 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And I just squeal back at him.
As you squeal in pain.
Right, so that was, it was this turn, squealed, attack. Benson, it is your turn.
Well, I guess I'll go after him.
Get a head start.
Benson, activate your cloak, boost your speed, just like me.
I don't want to, that's as close as I can get.
Oh my god.
And I don't want to be in front of either one of these boars. But I also don't want to be standing right next to the edge. This sucks.
The Order of the Crimson Briar just hands his cloaks out to everybody.
Yeah. Well, they're letting anybody in these games.
No, you see, I'm a level 6 champion, so...
I guess that's my turn.
Alright. Benson goes running up like a linebacker. The turn comes to Oakwood.
Alright.
You are invisible.
I know. I feel like I shouldn't waste it on this, but the fact that there's these damn boars here. So, from this range, he can snipe every single one of them, so it's fine.
Yep.
Sneak on the boat. Scout it out. This is just some pigs. We'll be fine.
The first one will be flat-footed to you.
That's true, too.
That's true. Yep. I mean, but it'll take my entire complement of movement just to get to the ramp.
Well, they'll be flat-footed to your arrow, too, because they're ground detected.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I'm just thinking, use the invisibility when I can. But how are these mooring ropes? Are they, really tight?
they're tight. I mean, there's four of them, and they're holding a pretty, pretty sizable boat here.
Come on,
so.
But do the... But are the mooring ropes going straight up to the deck?
They would be going to the. There's two floor. Well, yeah. So there's two floors to this, not including like the captain section at the top.
Mm.
Yeah. So no, that would be going to rings that are going up to the side. But from that point, you could easily climb up like the side of the ship.
But that's what I was asking, if I could just use my movement to move along the rope and go up onto the ship.
Yeah, that's totally fine. The ship is so massive they wouldn't even like notice the weight or anything like that. So yeah, you can do that.
Okay, I'm gonna do that.
I would like you to make it's not a climb check, is it athletics? I think to climb across, unless you want to balance, in which case that's in a whole other thing.
That's acrobatics.
True. But that would also be much harder because trying to balance on a rope rather than just like crawl across it, you know, hanging.
True. I mean, I guess I could do athletics. I mean, athletics works for me. He's more buff now. He's cut.
That's true. Oh yeah, that's true. That's true.
That is a good roll though. That's a 27.
That's perfectly fine. All right, yeah. So you can go ahead and I'll say with that you're able to get to the side of the ship, and then in the next round you'll be able to climb up to the top.
Oh, so I can't do it all in one go.
You move at half your speed.
Yeah.
So unless I guess it depends how much.
Succeed.
Oh, that's true. Unless you critically succeed and then you move at full.
Oh.
Yeah. What's the check for that?
Let's see. I'm on climb. It didn't say anything about that. Hold on.
I'm sure there's a difficulty check on in particular through this.
Yeah. Of course there is. Let's see. This is. Oh, that was Pathfinder 1E. Why do they? Why do they have?
Get that shit out here.
It would be incredibly easy for most people to do. So yeah, I'll call it a critical success.
Heck okay. Yeah,
because that would also mean I move further. So that means I could take other movements on this turn. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to basically just try to scale up to the side, to the top of the deck. So
okay.
So I guess that's more athletic checks.
So it'll be another athletics check. A little bit more difficult, but it is the side of a ship,
yeah,
so there's plenty of little footholds.
I mean, that's a 28.
Oh, yeah, you're totally shit. Fine. all right, so you get to the top. So I'll tell you this: they don't have a map for this part of it.
Oh.
But what I will do is I will pull you. I will put you right here.
The ship is beyond the scope of this adventure.
You're
supposed to go on the boat. You're supposed to look at it.
Just look at it.
And what you see when you get here is you see two what look like two privateers.
Okay.
And then on the top deck of this ship, you see this thing.
What?
Oh my goodness.
What the fuck is
it
that?
It is a blue demon-looking thing with massive horns coming out of its head and is jacked to all hell. And it turns its head and it's just like, go check it out. And I'll see you guys next time.
Oh my gosh.
That thing is terrifying. I mean, we're just going to feed Tim to it.
You just hear a splash back in the water. Like,
hello everyone, Mark here as the voice of Elkud Grimm, to remind you to follow us all on our socials to stay up to date with the DPS content and Pathfinder related news. If you want more DPS content in your life, be sure to check out our Twitch and YouTube channels, as well as our Discord and subreddit for episode discussions, conversations about gaming, and hey, if you like memes, we got the memes. And hey, if you need some last minute gifts for the holiday, why don't you just stop by our merch store at DragonPunchSquadMerch.com. See you on the next episode.